At the end of each month, we check in with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson for updates on environmental stories from around the basin. For today's Great Lakes Month in Review, we look at how a lawsuit in Iowa could have implications for the Great Lakes, the latest in Flint's water woes, and the problems that microfibers are causing for Great Lakes fish. Gary Wilson, I hope it's not too late to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Mark, and everybody at KAR. It's good to be with you again.
I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who said, no, the month of January, the whole month from beginning to end, it's okay to say Happy New Year.
And yeah, you're entitled.
Considering we're talking about a whole year in just one month, I couldn't agree more with that. Let's get into this story stemming from Iowa. I mean, we heard a lot about fertilizer runoff on farm fields this summer after toxic algae bloom showed up on Lake Erie, but it's not just a hot topic in the Great Lakes. In Iowa, the Des Moines Water Works recently filed a lawsuit to try and stop runoff into the rivers it draws water from. What's going on in this case?
Yes, Mark. This is an important issue. It's an important case. You know, the algae problem is just not in the Great Lakes region. It's all over the country. And Des Moines, Iowa's Water Works recently filed an intent, a letter of intent to sue three county drain commissioners. The basis of the suit is the nitrates that run off from agriculture into the water supply. And Des Moines Water Works has just finally said it's had enough. This runoff that is occurring now in the winter, in the dead of winter here, is not the norm. Normally, the summer months and the fall months and the harvest season, et cetera, would be the time that they would most likely to have to deal with nitrates. But the problems got so bad that they're having to do it, run their machinery that does the filtering, you know, throughout the winter, and they've just feel like they've had enough. Iowa, like the Great Lakes states, have been relying on voluntary measures by farmers to stop the runoff. Iowa says it's not working, so they've raised the bar considerably with the lawsuit.
How much is it costing the utility to deal with the nitrate pollution?
That's interesting, Mark. Their stated cost is $4,000 per day. And, of course, the money is important, but Des Moines is approaching it from a different angle, and that's the human health aspect. The water department there is charged with providing safe drinking water, and it doesn't matter how much it costs. The cost is something that they just have to deal with. So, of course, it's taxpayer dollars, and the costs are important, and they're, it's added on to your normal budget. But they're, especially legally, they're approaching it from the human health aspect.
Why is Des Moines Water Works suing counties instead of the farmers putting the nitrogen fertilizer on their fields?
That's a great question, Mark, and it gets potentially into the legal weeds, but I'll take a quick stab at it. The Clean Water Act, which is the federal law enacted in 1972 that allows everybody to go after polluters, as a general statement, doesn't apply to agriculture. Back in 1972, we were going after factories that had a pipe that ran into the Detroit River or wherever and dumped pollution, Detroit River, Lake Erie being two prime examples. Agriculture was not part of the issue, so agriculture is generally exempt. So what Des Moines is doing is taking the approach of going after the county drain commissions, because this agricultural runoff, these nitrates flow through the county drain commissions into the source of Des Moines' drinking water. So the agriculture interests could say, "Hey, you can't come after us." And Des Moines going, "You're probably right," but these drain commissions are the conduit for the pollution. So we're going to hold them accountable.
Is this a model you could see cities like Toledo using to try and deal with fertilizer runoff in the Great Lakes?
I think it is, and that's the importance of the Des Moines suit is just that. All these municipalities are kind of dealing with this issue if they have agricultural runoff. We've relied on the EPA to U.S. EPA to who has oversight responsibility. They haven't been terribly proactive in solving this. Relied on agriculture interests with voluntary measures. They haven't been proactive. Now comes Des Moines, sort of out of the blue, with a potential remedy. I'm sure cities like Toledo are assessing it. Lawsuits are messy, they're expensive, and you never know what will happen. But I think that it's getting to, the law is sort of the last resort. Nobody wants to go to court. But I think that's clearly where Des Moines is, and Toledo could well be considering the same route.
Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson's our guest here. It's our Great Lakes Month in Review on WKAR's Current State. Let's turn to another water quality issue closer to home here. Flint residents are raising concerns about their tap water, which they say is discolored and causing rashes and sickness. What's happening here?
Boy, they've had tremendous water quality issues in Flint over the past months, Mark. They've been cited officially for not providing safe drinking water. You know, the problem is a byproduct of the issue is a byproduct of a chemical agent they use to kill bacteria. There's too much of it in the water. Flint has an aging infrastructure, and it's a bad situation in Flint. And you know, it's one more. Midwest city, Great Lakes city, with a problem.
That doesn't need any more problems.
No, it doesn't.
Arguably. Last month, the state's Department of Environmental Quality said Flint was in violation of the Clean Water Act for elevated levels of a byproduct used to kill bacteria in the water pulled from the Flint River. What's the city's response been to that?
Boy, it's not good in my opinion, Mark. I would say it's curious at best and negligent at worst. It sounds like it was written by lawyers. What Flint has said is the water is safe to drink, except maybe not for the elderly, people with compromised immune systems, and infants. You know, municipalities are charged with providing safe drinking water for all citizens, not just some. That was... like I said, it sounded like a lawyerly response, and the citizens in Flint deserve better than that. So, well, the drinking water is safe, except maybe not for my infant child. Citizens shouldn't be expected to cope with that.
Yesterday, Flint Mayor Dane Walling asked for Governor Rick Snyder's involvement with Flint's water problems. What does Mayor Walling want from Governor Snyder?
Flint elected officials feel caught in the middle. Flint has an emergency manager appointed by the governor. So the Flint elected officials, the mayor, feel like they're the sounding board for all the citizens' issues with the drinking water. But Flint is run by an emergency manager who has most of the power. So the Flint officials feel like they're in a no-win situation. They went to Governor Snyder. They want him to visit Flint. They want him to put the weight of his office behind fixing Flint's water problems. This is in a high-profile release issued just yesterday. Representatives for the governor issued a statement saying that they're working on Flint's water problems like they are a whole host of Flint's problems, which is not quite the priority response I suspect that the mayor wanted. So we'll have to see if they raise this to the next level. I suspect at some point the governor himself will have to address this. This is a basic issue, safe drinking water.
It's our Great Lakes Month in Review here on WKAR's Current State with Great Lakes journalist Gary Wilson. There's been a lot of press around microbeads lately, the tiny balls of plastic that are actually found in things like face scrub or body wash. But now researchers are worried about another kind of plastic getting into the Great Lakes, microfibers. Can you tell us what the concern is here, Gary?
Sure. What next? Microbeads and now microfibers. Microfibers are just that, tiny, almost invisible fibers in the Great Lakes. Southern Lake Michigan has a lot of them. And it's just literally what it sounds like, tiny fibers that come from our clothing. You wash your clothes and these, certain fibers, go into the water system and out into Lake Michigan in this case. Southern Lake Michigan has a lot of them. And they're very insidious. I was doing some research on this and related to fish and the microbeads from shampoos and conditioners, things like that. They will pass through a fish's system fairly readily, but the microfibers tend to wrap around the fish organs and intestines, and eventually constrict their ability to eat and pass the nutrients through their system. So it's a big issue, and just one more sign that we need to be working more on prevention than remediation. It's always easier to get at these things on the front side than the back side.
We've been talking about the biggest stories from the Great Lakes region with Gary Wilson, Great Lakes commentator and journalist. Thanks again for joining us, Gary.
Hey, Mark. It's always good to be with you.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.